Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Quick Save, our video game focused segment of Comic Book Nation. I am your host, Logan Moore. Joining me this week is Comic Book Nation co-host Matt Aguilar. Hi, Matt.
What's up?
We've also got joining with us once again this week is Evan Valentine. Hi, Evan.
Hello. Hey, thank you for having me. I am the knight.
Of course, we had to get you in here. to talk all about Batman, which is going to be the main focus of our show today. We're going to talk about the new Batman Arkham game that just got announced. And then in the back half of the show, we're going to dive into Matt's got a preview of Funko Fusion, the new Funko Pop game that is coming out later this year. And then I'm going to talk about what it's like when your video games smell, which is a weird thing to say, but there's a new device out called Game Scent that lets you smell your video games. And I'll talk about that more later. Evan, we wanted to talk Batman. This new Batman Arkham Shadow game was announced the other day. I know you expressed that you were very excited for this at first glance. And then we found out that it is a VR game, which I think is how a lot of people across the internet felt. Let's broadly talk about Batman Arkham Shadow first. This is a game coming to MetaQuest 3 later this year. We don't know a lot about it. They're going to reveal more details at Summer Games Fest. Evan, I mean, we'll just go to you first. What do you think about this?
Man, I was quite disappointed when it was revealed that this was a VR game, because like I have nothing against VR games. I wish that there was better representation of VR in general. I think that VR has been missing a serious like smash hit that makes it commonplace. Like, we know there's stuff like, you know, the PlayStation VR has kind of, it's been okay, but they have the Resident Evil games. But like for a game like Batman Arkham Shadow, I don't necessarily think you're going to get an amazing experience on this that has the same size and scope as the Arkham games in general. And let's be real, the Arkham games could use a big win right now.
Yeah.
I think they could use a big win. And I don't know if Arkham Shadow is going to be the thing to kind of bring back the franchise, as it were.
Matt, what are your broad thoughts on this? And also, did either of you guys play the previous Batman VR game? There was Arkham VR that came out in 2016, I want to say. It was one of the first PSVR games. I don't know if either of you have experience with that, but Matt,
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I don't. So if you do, you know. Okay, so what did you think about that?
I thought it was all right. I did have brief experience with it. Like, I played it for about a couple of hours, but it just was, and it did have, you know, it did have the mood. It has the aesthetic of the Arkham games.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it just didn't feel like, you know, it was, when you go into a VR game, I think one of the biggest things is that you want to feel as close as possible to actually being in that world. And I just don't think it was really able to do that. Maybe Arkham Shadow will prove us wrong. I mean, I know I'm crossing my fingers that I'll be, you know, that I'll eat crow on this one, but, you know, we'll see.
I played Arkham VR and I really liked it, but it was also like my first VR game that I had ever played. So there's that. Like, it was like, oh my gosh, look, I've got hands and I'm Batman. And oh, like, just the simple novelty of like what VR was at that time was experienced through that game for me. So I have a lot more fondness than I think a lot of other people do. But yeah.
Well, and that's what's so weird about this is that, number one, I was actually surprised that it was Oculus and not PlayStation, because obviously they just made their big push with the, you know, their second VR iteration. And I thought, oh, easy win, right? And then I was like, okay, well, great for Meta. Like, great for Meta Quest, right? And Quest is, I mean, I don't have a ton of experience with VR other than like the kind of the novelty things of like trying out a headset once every so often, be like, this is really cool, doing some kind of, you know, especially like the underwater stuff always seems to be really cool, because that's just something you can't mirror, you know, in any other way. But for gaming, you know, it's just been really about all of the quality of life things that at some point will erase themselves, the space that's dedicated, the price, that all those things, you know, having a, you know, other than like PlayStation, right, like having a rig that can handle it, all of that stuff, just there's so much still barriers of entry that I just had, there's nothing there that goes that me like says I have to do it right now. But I was surprised that, you know, Quest is the one that I feel like is kind of starting to leave the rest of the pack behind because of its, the nature of it being able to kind of go anywhere, not be so bogged down by those other things. So if there was going to be one that got a Batman game, that would be it. I kind of look at this as like, I used to look at mobile game announcements when they would be like, oh, hey, there's a new this game. And I got really excited. And then it was like, and it's coming to phones. I was like, oh, I don't do that so much anymore, because I've discovered that I actually play a lot more mobile games than I kind of really thought I did. But VR is still that way. I will say I do love, if you are going to do this kind of thing on a platform that isn't, you know, this kind of as widely available, I do like that you're taking some chances. You're diving into the backlog a bit. You're dealing with, you know, the villain, like you're dealing with Ratcatcher. Like,
yeah,
there is stuff that is really appealing about this. So I do, my curiosity's piqued. I just, you know, I don't think it's going to be the thing that draws everybody. You know, everyone was claiming Half-Life Alyx would be that. And I just, you know, that wave never seems to really happen. You know,
well, because at the end of the day, VR is it's a form of technology that you need in addition to something else. Like, if you want to play Half-Life Alyx, you not only need a $500 or $600 headset, you need a $1,000 computer to run the game or something like that. I mean, you mentioned Quest. Like, that's one of the big reasons why I think Quest is catching on, is because all you need is the headset. That's it. It's all right there. It's all in the device alone. Just go spend $200 or $300 on that, and then you're good to go. Same with PlayStation VR. There's a whole larger conversation we could have about what Sony is doing with PlayStation VR 2. I don't understand. They released that thing last year, and since then have just not come out with any big ticket games. Like, the games that are releasing for it, I don't think are bad, but there's nothing that is gaining, you know, mainstream attention or notoriety. And you're trying to sell that product as a piece of hardware first and foremost. And to do that, you need games and software for it. And they're just not doing that. Speaking of like how they didn't team up here. So the developer of this Batman Arkham Shadow game is Camouflage. They're actually a studio that has worked with PlayStation a lot in the past. So the fact that they have now spun off and have now partnered with Oculus for this game is a bit of a surprise, I think. Camouflage is the studio that did the Iron Man VR game, which was on PSVR exclusively for a period of many years. They also previously worked on a game called Republic, which I think was exclusive to PlayStation 4 for a couple of years before it eventually came everywhere else. So they're not like a PlayStation specific studio or anything like that. But when they have partnered in the past, it has been predominantly with PlayStation. So now that this game is getting revealed, it is kind of curious to be like, oh, they're not continuing that partnership. The VR space is still just, it's very strange to me. I don't know how long it's going to continue unless, you know, the technology is great though. And that's what's disappointing. Like, I have no doubt that this game will be really great for those who can play. Same sort of thing with Half-Life Alyx, but you know, how many people did play that game at the end of the day? I want to talk about the game itself though, because again, we haven't seen too much. The trailer definitely indicates that Ratcatcher is the villain though, which is a villain that has not appeared in any of the Arkham games up until this point. How do we feel about that? Because that's kind of a C tier Batman villain, maybe beneath that.
That's like being they're kind.
Not C is generous.
C is probably D. How do we feel about them? I think they could work well in a VR game, just kind of with what they've shown off in this teaser trailer here. But beyond that, it's like I don't know. Like, what were your thoughts on that, Evan?
So I'm always a big fan. Like, I don't know if you guys or the audience knows. Like, my favorite Batman villain is Professor Pig. Professor Pig is my favorite Batman villain. So, and he's not considered A. I consider him A rank, but he is my favorite. So I always, I'm always down to see like new interpretations of old characters. I think that one of the things that I'm hoping, obviously we don't know a lot about the story for this yet, but one of my hopes for this is that for quite some time, there was I think it was pretty much confirmed. Logan, maybe you can like confirm this for me, but I remember that one of the initial pitches for following Arkham Knight was the idea that they were going to make an Arkham game that starred Damian Wayne as Batman, which seemed like the natural progression, which probably would have seen like, you know, weird villains like Jackanapes. Yeah, bonus points for listeners who knows who Jackanapes is, but like having that character, having those kind of villains, weird off the beaten path villains kind of appear in a Batman game. So like Ratcatcher, there's not a lot to Ratcatcher's character in terms of like it folks might remember from James Gunn's The Suicide Squad that they did introduce Ratcatcher 2, who was the daughter of the original Ratcatcher. So maybe they can make some changes here and kind of add to the character a little bit from there. We'll see where this takes place. I'll be really interested to see if this actually takes place in the Arkham universe, because for the longest time, I really thought that like Gotham Knights was going to take place in the Arkham universe until I actually like played it and saw it, because it was so weird how it's like Batman is dead and that seemed like Batman was dead at the end.
That's exactly what happens at the end of Arkham Knight.
That's exactly like, what happened. Yeah. So it seemed like that would be the perfect place, but it was its own
thing. Psych.
Yeah, that psych, that game isn't in the Arkham verse, but Suicide Squad is. And
They made a Suicide Squad game? Yeah. Oh, I've never heard of that.
I want to talk about that in a second here as well. Do you have any strong opinions on Ratcatcher being the villain, Matt? Or, I mean, based on what we've kind of seen here?
I'm with Evan. I love when they reach into the back catalog. Like, Batman has one of the other... It's Batman and Spider-Man have the two strongest comic books galleries ever. And you can reach into the D tiers. I mean, Condiment King, Clock King... You know, like Calendar Man, like there's so many, you know, I mean, obviously I love Scarface, right? I love the Ventriloquist. Like those are some of my favorites. So like you can reach into those and actually find some compelling things. And ironically, Ratcatcher's like actually OG origin story is kind of like a perfect fit for a smaller VR style experience. It's, you know, dude was like essentially made to be a scapegoat and was sent to prison wrongfully and then goes and like essentially tries to take out all the officials that made that happen. And because he knows the sewer so well, because he used to be a sanitation worker, no one can, like, the cops can, like, not track him at all. And so that's why Batman gets into it. So you're in the sewers, you're in very enclosed areas. So, like, it lends itself actually really well to that type of experience. Mm-hmm. And he could be a compelling villain.
I think it's going to make the game be more like horror centric. And I think that's going to be their way of doing that without, you know, returning to the Scarecrow well, which is something the Arkham series has done a lot.
I think Killer Croc, same.
Yes. Like, I think it allows them to broaden out and do something different. I mean, it's the same. They've done this in the past with the Arkham series. Like, I know Hugo Strange is a little bit more of a more prominent Batman villain, but even him, like, as him being pitched as, in all the marketing, he was pitched as the main villain of Arkham City, which was like, this is a pretty surprising, like, push that they're doing here, because he's not a household name for Batman fans by any means. So they've done this sort of thing in the past with kind of putting lesser known Batman villains in the spotlight. So I think that could work out well here with Ratcatcher. And I feel like there will probably be some other villains that pop up in this game, depending on how long it ends up being and stuff like that. Again, we're going to learn more about this next month at Summer Game Fest. That's on June the 7th, I want to say. So we'll probably see more, get more details then. I know a lot of people are asking if Kevin Conroy is going to be voicing Batman. I'm wondering if there's going to be a voice of Batman at all in the game, if since you're supposed to be Batman. Who knows? They could. I mean, I don't think Kevin Conroy voiced the character in Arkham Origins, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Arkham Origins? No, he did. He did.
Yeah. They've used different Batman voice actors already in the series as it is.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the larger Arkhamverse though, and this is something you kind of touched on earlier, Evan, about how that just seems like this series can't catch a win lately. Like, we had. I mean, it's been Gotham Knights, you know, which you talked about, like, this is great. Why? I mean, people didn't end up really liking that game, but it was like, this makes perfect sense to fold into the Arkhamverse. Nope, we're not doing that. And then it's Suicide Squad, and Suicide Squad comes out, panned. No one likes it. I think the player numbers on that are, I saw the other day, was like lower than Marvel's Avengers.
150.
Win! Which is wild.
Win that for is, Marvel's Avengers.
Matt Avengers Stan.
That is crazy.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
That game's not like, even online anymore, right? Like, that's nuts.
Not even online anymore.
It's online. I think they've just stopped supporting it with new content or whatever. They've said it's end of life and the game is what it is now. So Suicide Squad comes out. No one likes that. That's tied to the Arkhamverse. They take some interesting liberties with some of the characters in that game that people don't like whatsoever. And then now we've got this, a new Batman Arkham game, but it's only for VR. And who knows what that's like. I think I have a couple questions here. First off, it seems apparent that WB Games like wants to keep this series alive, right? Like, this is going to be something that is going to continue for the long haul. I think a lot of people have always tied the Arkham series with Rocksteady. WB seems like they're kind of trying to untether it from Rocksteady now. Like, do you guys, by no means do I think this series is going to end in the future. I mean, they're going to try to keep milking something out of it. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that or what they're doing here with it now.
When I see Arkham Shadow, the first thing that I think of is that, oh, it's going to be another prequel thing. Mm-hmm. Like maybe even earlier than when he's starting out, because I don't know if Matt agrees with me on this, but like, I loved Arkham Origins story. I thought that,
Evan,
like,
me and you were just on the same wavelength. Yep. Today, Arkham Origins is so underrated.
It's super underrated. The idea of it's a great storyline, because the idea of Batman on Christmas Eve, where he has a bounty on his head and they bring together all of these different villains where he has to take them all down in a single night. Great concept for a game. And the idea, like I had mentioned earlier, the Damian Wayne idea, I thought was actually really solid, how they would be able to do that. And unfortunately, like, one of the ways that I thought originally that they would be able to continue the Arkham universe that was kind of touched on in Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League was the idea of handing the baton off to other heroes in the DCU while Batman was not the forefront. You do that by having like a Superman game, or you do that by having a Flash game. Or I know that I think Monolith is working on a new Wonder Woman game that might integrate like the Nemesis system from Shadows of Mordor, which I love Shadows of War. So like, that seemed like the logical way to continue this. Like, if they have to keep beating a dead horse as they're kind of doing, like, I just wish that they would take the time to kind of do that and stay true to the spirit of the original ones, because I think that like one of the things that happened with before the Arkham games, there was not a singular great Batman game. The best you could get was kind of like a side-scrolling beat-em-up, or you could get kind of like, you know, you might get a fun one like the original Nintendo Entertainment System Batman kind of thing. But
shout out to Batman Vengeance. I liked that game when I was
eight years old.
Vengeance is good. That was the standard before.
I don't know if it was actually good or if it was just my 8 to 10 year old brain, but I know I liked the
I loved that thing at the time. That thing was
is Vengeance the one that's based on that uses the design work from the fourth season of the Batman animated series, or am I thinking of a different one?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yep. It definitely pulls from the animated series.
Oh, there are two. Okay.
So the second one was like the one that was kind of more based on Batman and Robin, the adventures. Four player, I think. You know, was it first person or third?
It was like a mix. Like when you would aim your batarangs and stuff, it would go into first person.
That's right. So that one ruled.
Yeah. And so like, I think that they need, if they're going to keep doing like Arkham stuff after Suicide Squad killed the Justice League, like you have to completely retool. And I don't necessarily know if Warner Brothers is necessarily going to have the patience to do that in terms of like, I have no idea what the ramifications of Suicide Squad is going to be on like, will they ever go back to the, like, I know that like Arkham Shadow and maybe they'll keep going back to it, but like, we'll see. I mean, in terms of, was Suicide Squad's arrival enough to like scare the WB away from trying to do more DC related stuff?
So they came out like after Suicide Squad released and they basically said like this, I think it was like their first quarterly earnings call after that game released. And they're like, yeah, it was like a disappointment. It didn't meet our expectations. Also, we're going to release a lot more live service games and we're doubling down on this format.
That's the message to take away from, clearly.
it doesn't really make any sense. I don't think they're dissuaded from the Arkham franchise as a whole. You would think the thing they would be dissuaded from would be the format of the game they just created, and instead that's the thing that they are somehow happy with, even though they also said that it didn't make them any money. I don't know. Just C-suite thinking, I guess. I don't know. With that in mind, it seems like a tall task for them to go make a single player Batman game right now, given what they are saying. Like, even same thing with Hogwarts Legacy last year. Huge success that game was. And then their takeaway from it was like, we need more live service games in the Harry Potter universe. It's like, dude, you just sold like 20 to 25 million copies of this game. When is it enough?
Experience.
Yes. So I WB's all over the place.
I saw in the comments, Rich Flair mentioned the Telltale Batman games. Yes. I love those. I think that those games especially are able to we kind of mentioned a little bit about how Arkham Shadow might be able to take old characters and create new things like with Ratcatcher or whatever. But the Telltale Batman games completely changed the universe and completely changed the characters in a way where like Harley Quinn is the abusive one in the Harley Quinn Joker relationship. They completely changed Bane, Mr. Freeze, and it all kind of works. They completely like changed the origin story of Batman. I thought that was a great example of like them being able to change stuff in general.
I guess so. The title of this episode is like, should the Batman Arkham series end? Like, that's kind of where I'm trying to decide right now. And I've been a fan of these games since Arkham Asylum first came out. And I don't know if I love the idea of it continuing to be milked, especially if they're going to milk it in ways that are similar to what they did with Suicide Squad, which is not the type of game I want. Like, if you're going to keep making, you know, single player Batman experiences or even something like Arkham Shadow here, I'm fine with a spinoff like this. Like, that's totally cool with me, but you know, I don't want any more Suicide Squads type games. And also, this franchise is so tied to Kevin Conroy, and with him passing now, like, it is very much like these games are somewhat his legacy. I feel like these games and the obviously the cartoon, like, are his two big like performance or his two big franchises that he's tied to Batman with. I just don't know if I want them to continue with this at this point, if all they're going to do is, you know, well, how can we create a co-op live service game, or how can we do this? It's like, let's just move on. Like, I don't want to see this continue to go away that I'm not a fan of. I really did not like Suicide Squad. I tried to play it. I tried to get into it. I just did not like the gameplay, let alone where the story goes and stuff like that. What do you guys think? Is it time to pull the plug on this, or do you want to see it end as a fan? Like, where are you guys at? We'll go to you.
So I'm kind of to the point where I don't tie things to people as much anymore. I think it's probably just the fact that I've, you know, unfortunately, you have to see like people either kind of age out of a role or just decide to like hang it up, right? Like Mark Hamill with Joker, right? Just like, hey, I'm not doing that anymore. I want to do other stuff, and I've been doing it for so long and that kind of thing. And so that part doesn't stall me. And also, you know, Arkham Origins, we mentioned before, I was totally okay like with the new voice, and some work better than others. But I think what you pointed to is the real key here. It depends on what their plans are for that universe. If we're going to, you know, pivot to like, okay, we want live service elements, but we are going to let Rocksteady do what they do best, which is a single player focused experience as a campaign, and then just add live service elements somehow into that mix with costumes or this and that or whatever, tie it to like achievements type thing. You know, sometimes you got to take the good with the bad, right? And I go, do I want more Rocksteady Batman? Yes. And I feel that as much bad will as they have accrued with Suicide Squad, all it takes is for them to just deliver another Arkham game that is up to that standard, and people won't care. People will buy it and will forgive them and be like, hey, don't do that again. Like, that's it. That's all it takes. You know, this industry is very... like their memories are short when it comes to that, in good and bad ways. So I just think like, I still want that. And I think that franchise, because they gave us three, even though Arkham Knight, you know, wasn't as like good to me as Arkham City or whatever, like they still gave us three.
Hate the Batmobile games.
Right. Yeah. And so, but like, if you really talk to people now, like it's getting to the point, right? Time does this. Like you don't hear about that as much as you did back then. All you did here at the time was like, oh my god, the Batmobile sections, it's like half the game, it's this and that. And now people just lump it in with Arkham City and Arkham Asylum and go like, the Arkham trilogy is fantastic. And that's what happens over time. So I think, you know, if they were to end season one content, because I really can't see it going to like season two for Suicide Squad.
They are committed.
Joker didn't move the needle.
They are committed. Who else will? I think they are committed through season four. I want to say they're going through the end of this year.
That's not happening.
They've already showed their roadmap before the game ever came out, and they're like, "Yeah, we have four seasons planned for this year alone," and they're not going
to be fair. Avengers had a roadmap too. I remember covering that thing.
It did release most of it, didn't it?
They released a good chunk of the first one. And then they were like, hey, we got like four more heroes coming, and She-Hulk and Captain Marvel, and they went, nope. That's...
Yeah,
I think maybe two. Yeah. Maybe you get two seasons, and then they'll be like, we gotta pull the plug, you know. I want more Arkham.
The weird thing with Suicide Squad 2, sorry to cut you off, Evan, is like,
supposedly
they're gonna like fix some of the things that some of the problems that people have had with the story through the seasonal storytelling, like the way that game ended. They're like, don't worry, or they haven't said this, but like leaks have suggested that like the things that people don't like about the game are going to be fixed with the additions to the story that are coming at a later time. And it's like, that's just why don't it's very aggravating, because you've already lost the audience.
Can I just say about the Suicide Squad game, I'm like the only person in the world who thinks this, but I was super enthusiastic to play as Captain Boomerang originally because I love Captain Boomerang, and I love the idea of throwing weird boomerangs at people. And then for them to immediately not have he has the boomerang, he throws it to travel through the Speed Force in the game, but he doesn't throw it at people. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there being like, I just want to be able to... Why would you just have him use guns? Why would you have King Shark use guns? I don't understand that methodology in it, but
fundamental flaw. That's a just fundamental
flaw. 75 players are going to be very disappointed if they're not able to defeat all 13 variants of Brainiac in those season passes. I think that like for ending the it's not difficult to say that I thought like Arkham Knight was the weakest of the trilogy, of just because of the high standards of Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. Those were and like the Batmobile, I thought they relied on it a little too much. The idea of you ramming into a criminal going 150 miles per hour, but they're fine because you electrocuted them or something when you hit them, I thought that was a bit much. But it also, like, the story, it did give a good solid ending to that universe, I thought. Like, it gave the idea of, like, okay, like, Bruce is gone, but in his place has, like, a darker Batman arisen. Is that still Bruce? Is it someone else wearing the costume? Or something like that. So I think, like, from a story standpoint, that worked. And so, like, the idea for Suicide Squad was sound. There were parts of that game where they kind of, the idea of Bruce being lifted out of the darkness by the formation of the Justice League was a really cool, that was a cool idea. But ultimately, it just kind of, it wasn't able to ultimately, like, hold its own thanks to everything else that was happening in the game. I know that Controller Zen in the comments said would love a Superman game. I would love a Superman game. For the love of God, make a Superman game. I want a good Superman game on the same level as Batman and Spider-Man in the future. But
Sunsoft's Superman, Reign of Superman, is still my favorite Superman game.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, because even if that,
it's so
that game's
good.
Solid.
It's way better than it has any right to be. Yeah,
it's way better than it has any right to be. But I would love the chance to have an Arkham, like, makeover for Superman, or, you know, I mean, we have the Wonder Woman game, but like one of the things that I was really hoping for when the Arkham series ended with when it originally ended with Arkham Knight was the idea of branching out and giving us games for other DC characters in that similar style, like giving us a Flash game, a Green Lantern game. Like Batman's always going to be a big seller, I think, at the end of the day. That's tough to dispute, but like we could have had so much that could have still been in that universe. Even
the Superman game is what everybody wanted Rocksteady to do. That was like the big rumor for years, and just I don't think there was ever such a project in the works. You mentioned that Damian Wayne game that was in the works.
Yeah,
and I think that got pretty far along and was scrapped.
That concept art looked cool too.
It looked really cool. That game would have been great. I think
you could have had a Batman Beyond game. Like, that would have been, man,
that would be the best amazing. Way forward if they want to continue this. Like, just call it Arkham Beyond. Boom. Done.
Oh, man, that's perfect.
The end. Like, Batman Beyond is so untapped in all sorts of DC media, though. So, like, I can't believe we still don't have a live action Batman Beyond, but that's a whole other conversation. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Matt, you played a Funko Pop game, or you saw a Funko Pop game. We're going to talk about that. You've got all the pops behind you, so that's a good. You're clearly a big fan.
I am the audience.
Yeah, you're the audience for that. So we're going to talk about that, and then I'm going to talk about how you can smell your video games now. So we'll be back here in just a moment.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Quick Save. It's time to talk about Funko Pop, specifically a new Funko Pop video game that is coming out later this year on September 13th. It is called Funko Fusion, and it is kind of exactly what the title sounds like. It is a fusion of a bunch of different franchises all within the Funko Pop, I don't want to say universe because it's not even really a universe. It's like branding, I guess. The game is going to feature different Funko Pop characters that different characters from franchises like Jaws. We've got Jurassic World. The Thing is in this, which is like maybe the most wild one to me. Invincible, a lot of others. Matt, you played this. What?
Well, I didn't get to play it.
Okay, so you didn't play it. Explain.
So
what
I watched it. Yeah, I watched footage.
Okay.
of a run through of things.
Okay. What was this like then? What were your takeaways? Again, you're a Funko Pop purchaser and displayer, as seen by your backdrop there. What did you think about this?
Yeah, I tend to also make a lot of people anxious, the collectors that don't like to see all my pops out of the box, because there's a lot of people that only keep them in the box. I'm like, no, I can't. So I got to go through, kind of be walked through a full preview of a couple different levels, specifically the Thing level was kind of the main showcase, and kind of showing how everything interconnects from there. And it is one of the more surprising things. And actually that kind of lends itself to the biggest surprise of it, is that from a core perspective, it's a 4-player online co-op game, but you can go through single player if you want. Right. All of that. But it has been kind of prioritized to be an online co-op, so like there's no local built in. But the thing that is kind of very prominent in the Thing is that like it's a lot more brutal and gory like than I thought. You know, like it's still on a PG level, right? But it's like not, you know, people's are kind of exploding, and there's like there's scenes very much recreated in the game to mimic iconic scenes from movies, and especially with The Thing, right? There are some gruesome things that happen, and, you know, they've kind of very much teased it like, hey, we're going to do our version of that and get as close as we can while still, you know, it being a Funko Pop. But like, you can see like there's blood.
I was going to say, you can see some of it in the trailer. I think you even see the Thing at one point, and it's looking all grotesque, right, and disgusting like it does in the movie.
And there's a thing in the Thing. There's a thing in the Thing level, you know, how the Huskies play into it. That is represented in the game, right? And so like at one point you're like collecting, you can actually go and find and rescue the Huskies. But then like you might learn later that one of them is infected. Like all of that stuff is represented. Like they really kind of made it a priority to bring some of those iconic moments from the movies to life in this game, and have you still kind of interacting with it. It's funny because this is from a team that has a lot of experience in this type of thing, right? The Lego games are in their back pocket. So you're going to see a lot of those things represented, solving puzzles throughout the level, you know, for like certain sections of the thing, right? It's like, okay, some of the vents, you're in a very cold place. Some of the vents are frozen. Some things need to be put in place. You're trying to complete circuits, solve puzzles to get to like the next room, that kind of thing, right? So all of that stuff is prevalent, but then there's also straight up like third person combat. Like you're seeing people with shotguns walk around and blow, you know, Funko Pop's heads off and stuff like that. And all of those gems, I forget exactly what they call them in the game. It's not gems, but essentially those things that pop off are like, you know, a currency and a way to like unlock other things and all that. One of the most interesting things though that they showed was like how secrets work. Like obviously there's, you're going to find things along the way to unlock. There are over 60 playable Pops in this game. Across all those franchises. So like you can unlock them a lot of different ways, but there's also mini levels within bigger levels. And so like there was one where they showed a Shaun of the Dead level is kind of can be found within the Thing level. But when you go into that level, it's not just like, oh, it's not like a room. It's not like a hidden room or something. It's like the entire like town flat section of Shaun of the Dead. And so like you go through this thing and like you're all of a sudden in that world. And then as you exit whatever character you're playing as, and each brand, I think is going to have like three or four, each property is going to have like three or four characters from that represented in the game. And they all have unique abilities. But like, if you go into the Shaun of the Dead level, there's a Funko Pop box, like off to the side and like Shaun's in it. And so then you can switch at those boxes. And then when he comes out, he has his own abilities. There's like an escort mission that they show as you're like trying to accompany the group on in a car as they make their way through the town covered with infected. One of the things they showed was like you can actually become infected. So like if you get bitten or hit, you become that. And then there's also like unlockables tied to that, as well as, you know, you're actually walking around as a zombie and stuff. So it's within those levels, they're pretty big. And there's a bunch of those throughout the game. So like whole sections of stuff. Hot Fuzz is in this game. I tried to get something on Invincible for you. I did not. I could not. So they were very tight-lipped about Invincible. I was like, hey, how many playable characters? What can you tell us about the world? And they're like, you know, they said it is all Kirkman approved, though. And they are very excited. Like they're happy about what they came up with. But like Nope is represented in this.
Yeah, there are like some weird ones. Xena Warrior Princess is in this. It's like, you know, right, that relevant franchise.
Yeah, like, so the mix of properties is really what's going to be the star of the show here. And it really comes down to one of the things I was really curious about was like, okay, how fun is the combat in practice? Because I really like, to me, some of the best experiences I've had in co-op are just that like third person action type of set piece where you're just goofing around having fun. If they can nail that, this is kind of right up my alley as something fun. It's just an excuse to hang out with friends. We can all pick our favorite character. Let's go try and unlock, you know, all the Invincible stuff for someone over here. Let's go get the Masters of the Universe. Like that kind of thing is fun. Like, and so I really want to see how that comes out. I think they have the iconography down. The Pops don't talk. There's no voices because Pops don't have mouths. But they have like all of the, it's very like Lego in the way of like the expressions do all the talking for you and you can get all the moments that way. So it's going to be really interesting. I'm very curious to see if they can nail the actual moment to moment combat gameplay. Cause I think a lot of the other stuff is they're doing a good job of kind of nailing the aesthetic, the tone, like all that stuff. So I'm very curious. What do you guys, you know, questions? What are you guys thinking about this? What do you feel?
I just want to know, like, what is the format of this game? So does it kind of just start and you choose a level based on one of the franchises, similar to how, like, with the Lego Star Wars games or whatever, you're like, I want to go do Attack of the Clones. I'm going to go play that. And then you can dip out and go to the Return of the Jedi levels or something like that. Like, is it the same sort of thing where it's just like there's a hub world and you're like, okay, I'm going to do my Invincible levels now, or now I'm going to go do my Jaws level. Like, is it that sort of thing, or is there a through line like connecting all of this?
So it is, the way they say it is there is kind of a like larger story right that's in play, but it's, they also kind of made it they want you to be able to move through it as you choose. So like you're able to pick at the beginning, you're able to pick the franchise, like the world you want to start with. So you don't have to start in one world. You start with, if like, you know, one of the main people behind the game is like a huge Masters of the Universe fan. So obviously he starts with that. So it doesn't make you go, okay, well, if you're not a big fan of The Thing, it would kind of suck to have to start The Thing world and then make your way to whatever. So you're able to kind of, as you move through a level, so like the next level, you get to pick again. You move through stuff that you want to go through, and then you just kind of progress from there. That's kind of the way they described it. They really wouldn't go into too much detail about like kind of linking story and what that will entail, but it is kind of I guess best way to describe it would be like a multi-linear campaign style thing. And you have some flexibility from within. And then also as you unlock items and more characters that have different abilities, then there is a Metroidvania aspect where you can go back through because you can access other areas now in those levels that you couldn't before, and you go through that way.
That's very Lego-like in that sense, because like you would have to go back through with it, and you're like, oh, now I have a bounty hunter, so I can unlock the bounty hunter door, and
Phantom you can Menace see the Lego, like the Lego legacy. You can very much see that as you're moving through.
I feel like people will dig that then quite a bit, because I feel like there's still a lot of hunger for these old school style Lego games that a lot of us grew up with and have been playing forever. And they haven't released as many of these over the past decade. They had like the Skywalker Saga, but even that one was a little bit different in its format and approach compared to some of the older ones. So the fact that they're kind of going back to that sort of formula seems smart. The only other thing I wanted to say, I don't know if you have anything to say yourself, Evan, but you said there's no couch co-op. That seems like a huge, huge omission, because a lot of people are, I mean, I imagine like yourself, Matt, like, or even me, like you'd want to play this game on the couch with your kids. Like it's perfectly tailored for that sort of thing. So to not have couch co-op seems like a huge oversight or just the wrong decision on my, I don't know. That's not great.
That one was a little bit of a, like, cause that was asked directly. It was like, hey, you know, what's the like co-op situation? And like, they kind of essentially they did an assessment of their target audience and who they felt would be playing this game the most. And they kind of made the decision to, you know, we don't want to, it was kind of like, okay, which one do we focus on? Because I don't know if it was a matter of like, we don't want to split it and then do both not well, you know, like do both poorly. And so we want to lean into one or the other. It's like a weird thing. Cause like selfishly I'm bummed because we just started playing. I just redownloaded Multiverses, which is not even like technically online. Right. Cause all you can do is local and co-op until it bounces back, but you can still play local 1v1.
Yes.
And I played that with Ember, and like it's just fun. We're just goofing around, whatever, right? And there is a thing of like, I look at this and go, oh, this would be perfect. Cause me and her could just hop in, do a couple missions together. We can run around. This is a perfect aesthetic. Like there is a part of me that's bummed that that's not the case. I do understand though that to a degree, kind of like Pops and Funko's collectible side of things, the people buying those products are me. Like we're buying them for the kids, but we're buying them and Funko's, especially like as you move up, right, with some of their other collectible offerings and things. And also even just Pops, the age, like it's gone up and up, right? It's collectibles demographic now, as opposed to look, there's a Pop my daughter might like. I buy more than you know how many Pops I show her, and she's like, no, I'm okay. And then I just buy, you know, I'm buying all the black pink Pops. Like there's a reason. I'm the guy, I'm the person. So I kind of look at that and go, I do understand it, because we're probably going to be the ones playing online and taking advantage of that. But there is a part of me that's bummed. And I don't think it's, you know, they kind of tease some of their, like, they're going to have free DLC They're going to have free updates and stuff, but then they're also going to have some paid stuff that's coming. I don't think it's a thing either that like 6 months down the road, they'll integrate it. Like, I think they made a decision and they're going to probably stick with that. And that's unfortunate.
I mean, in other gaming news this week, Bethesda is now adding a 60 FPS option to Starfield, which is something they said they would never do. So,
Very true.
People run back stuff all the time that they say isn't going to be run back. Evan, do you have any questions about this?
Yeah, I did. So, number one, I own 3 Funko Pops, one of which is The Thing.
That's a really good one.
Oh, it's the big one too. That's big, awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude. The only Funko Pops I got were just big, weird, looks like the original versions of the characters. But I did have a question because I am also a big fan of John Carpenter's The Thing, Matt. So I had a question in terms of, you kind of mentioned really briefly that like you can get infected or something. When it comes to like the, and you kind of mentioned that each universe gives you like, I think you said like 6 characters to choose from. Did you kind of, when you jumped into The Thing world, did it let you take control of like Kurt Russell? But were the other ones like the husky thing, fusion monster thing, and like other childs maybe from that movie?
I'm trying to actually, because I took a note on that particular part. Where was that? I'm actually looking at them right now because it was like the four. They showed 2. They show 2 characters because like one character comes with MacReady, has a fire axe and a shotgun. And then there's another character has like a ranged attack. And then there was 4 from The Thing specifically. Is it Andrew? There's one that has no face.
I'm trying to remember all the names. There's one. Can you play as Wilfred Brimley?
That's what I was gonna say. Is the diabetes guy in it? Is what I want to know.
Can you play as Wilfred?
They did
Brimley
not show him, but I don't know if that is one. But I believe there was actually like 4 from The Thing. I would assume one is like an infected, you know, like version, right? That's got to be in there. They also did say that there will be, they kind of teased that like they are gonna like bring in the chase variant system that Funko does, so like, you know, Flocked and all those kinds of things. So like there's gonna be some of those in the game as well, of characters from different brands. So like those 3 or 4 don't include those will be on like on top of. But yeah, I do think it's like the 3 or 4 main characters, at least the 3, like 3 of the main characters, and then probably like 1 monster.
Okay.
We just better get Omni-Man, is all I'm going to say. It's an invincible thing.
I'm sure he'll be in there.
Just better get Omni-Man.
You got to get what? You got to get Mark. You got to get Omni-Man.
Adam and Eve.
And then who's the 4th?
Alan would be probably maybe the 4th. I don't know. There's so many others.
Rex, if you're going to vary it up, probably Rexplosion. Or robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like robot, this right here, this conversation is what I think is the most fun about this game. I just hope that if they can nail the actual like moment to moment for people having fun blasting some things, I think that'll be that's the real thing there that they got to click.
Well, it's different with this game too, because it's folding in so many different franchises. You know, like I think of the Lego Star Wars games, you get 20 characters on the roster that it's like, Stormtrooper number 5 or whatever, you know, like there's all these different variants. Like it's never in question that you're gonna get, you know, the main cast. So with this, it'll be a little bit more intriguing to see who they kind of cherry pick.
And that reminds me,
franchise.
So like one of those things, right? They also want to use various characters, like very much like Lego. So like, you know, in Lego, if you move to a puzzle, like you might not have the ability, but you can switch on the fly. So like Scott Pilgrim's amp is in the game, right? Because obviously the Scott Pilgrim group is. And so your MacReady doesn't have, they're removing through the Thing level, and MacReady doesn't obviously have any way to interact with sound. But if you switch to Marty McFly, he has his guitar. So then they switch to Marty on the spot. He does the music. He activates the amp that opens the hidden room. You go through that room and then you enter a world, and that's where you get to like the Shaun of the Dead world.
Totally. So,
like,
Lego-like.
It's very Lego in that respect. Yeah.
So you'll have to go back through and play all these levels probably two or three times over with all the different characters that you unlock and stuff like that. And that's cool. That gives it a lot of replayability. I will say, on my part, I am typically someone, I'm sorry, Matt, but there are many of us out there. I'm in the group that thinks Funko Pops are ugly and are a blight on humanity more often than not. And even in spite of that, I think this game looks pretty fun. So, you know, I'll give it a shot. Yeah,
that's saying something.
Yeah, it is. Because, like, just the general idea of, like, oh, Funko Pop video game, I'm like, oh, man, please no. And then I saw this, and I was like, that actually looks very enjoyable. Like, I might have a good time with that. Invincible Scott Pilgrim, yeah, I'll do that. So I've surprisingly got it on my radar. So we'll see how it turns out. Again, I said later this year, I think it's coming to everything, Switch, PlayStation, yeah. Xbox, PC. It's out September 13th. All right, last thing for the show today. I've mentioned this. I'm sure you guys will have questions. I will have answers. I have been trying out the Game Scent here. If you are listening to the audio version, I'm showing some things off on camera. You might want to watch the video version. This is Game Scent. This is from Game Scent. It is a new device that is meant to interact with your consoles or your PC and emit smells based on what would be happening within your game. It's creating 4D video gaming, I guess. It's a very strange thing. I've used it a bit this week. It's exactly what you would think. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts. Broadly speaking, like, do you guys have any interest in something like this? And what kind of questions do you have? And maybe we can go from there and I can explain more about how it works and stuff like that.
I guess it's totally dependent on the game that you're playing, really.
Yes,
I mean,
right?
There's
what
some
does Octane smell like? I'm very curious.
So that's the thing. A lot of the smells are very game specific. Like, I've been playing Elden Ring this week, and it will emit, you know, a storm smell. It comes with six smells in the box that I got. I think it was like storm, gunpowder. There's a forest one. There's one that's just like clean air. And then there's explosions and stuff like that. So, like, I've been playing Elden Ring, not really been smelling any explosions, not really been smelling any gunfire or anything like that. I have smelled those since, though, by playing a couple other games. But it's just kind of, I feel like there's not enough scents, like, you know, but I also don't know how many scents I would want. Like, I know that there are others that you can buy on their website to kind of give this thing more variety with the smells that it is emitting in the air. All the scents are oil based, so it's kind of like one of those atomizer type deals,
yeah,
or whatever. The scents, I mean, I'll show it off here on the video again. You kind of tie them to this. Like, there's the storm one, then you put it in the corresponding chamber. You have like an app on your phone. You can change up what you have in each chamber. You can like kind of tweak how much you want it to emit. It was going a little bit crazy in my place at first because I live in a smaller, just like one room apartment or one room house. And so I don't have a lot of space, and it was really emitting a lot of it. I was like, okay, we need to dial this back. We're gonna cause me to suffocate here. It's cool. I mean, the whole purpose, obviously, for it is like immersion factor and upping the immersion factor of your games. And I think there are some instances where, you know, maybe that could work. But more than anything, I think I sort of found it to be like a distraction. Almost like I'm kind of like trying to pay more attention to that and what it's doing. And, oh, how does this smell? And what do I think about this smell more than I am just like being absorbed in the game itself and just feeling like I exist in the game. So it's good for what it is. It's cool how it interacts with your game. You have to like hook it up through an HDMI pass through and then hook up all and then sync all your apps to the atomizer itself and then the pass through that is attached to your console or your PC, so that they're communicating with one another via your Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and all that stuff. The setup process, it wasn't that complicated whatsoever, which is the one thing that I did appreciate. I have had a little bit of like input lag with the pass through at times, but I think I've largely gotten that fixed. But I feel like that's kind of to be expected just about anything.
So like how does it actually like, so does it just regularly like spray as it's changing, or does it actually like go in sync with something that happens in the game or something?
So it uses the power of artificial intelligence to determine like what you like, what is happening in your game and when to emit those smells. Like for instance, when I was playing Elden Ring, I was running through like a foresty area the other night, and it started really shooting out the forest one. It doesn't do it constantly, but I'd say once every 2 minutes, it was just going and it was shooting a little spurt of it into the air. Again, you can tweak how much you want it to like spray on a regular basis, but it tries to line up. You know, if I was playing a shooter, it's going to start doing the gunpowder one more often. Or if I was playing a racing game, it's going to start emitting the octane one that is for the racing game. So, it just tries to, I don't know how the AI works or whatever, but again, it is in communication with your console and it is tapped into like what you're playing to emit That's corresponding really smells. Mm. At the end of the day, like, you only have 6 smells to go off of though. So like, you're kind of trapped there. Like I can show you like from the top here, like there's all 6, they're all in their different corresponding chambers there and stuff like that. So you do have a limited amount that you can use. And again, if I'm playing something like Elden Ring, it's probably not even going to emit half of those because that's a game that doesn't have explosions or gunfire or racing cars or anything like that. So
are there additional smells you can buy for it?
There are some additional ones on the company's website, I believe, that you can buy. I don't know how much they cost. I know this setup right here, they sent us over this unit to kind of check out and review and talk about here on the podcast. I think it retails for $150 at a baseline value. Other than that, I think the additional scents, I don't know how much they cost. Okay, I'm actually pulling up the website here. They've got the other ones they have are they're not available yet. So they've just got the 6 here. The 6 currently are gunfire, explosion, forest, racing cars. You know that smell, racing cars, storm, and clean air. They're going to come out with blood. Oh. Then they're going to come out with ocean, sports arena, and fresh cut grass.
So, I was about to say that I would love to play Bloodborne and know what Yharnam smells like.
I don't know if I would, is the thing.
Well, hopefully. So like that's the thing for me is I feel like this would be perfect for, obviously it's perfect for a very specific customer. We actually had one of those machines, like the ones that they sell, like the single ones where you can have like an oil. Mm-hmm. I forget the actual name of the device, but those things, and we really liked it. And ours just, you know, burn out after a while of use, right? So like, I look at that and go, if someone's cool with those types of smells, because they're actually great if you get the right scent.
Mm-hmm.
Cozy games is the thing that I think matches perfectly with that.
I totally agree.
Playing Dreamlight Valley or Animal Crossing or whatever, like those, and you get like fireplace or, you know, sugar cookie or whatever, like those types of things, I'd have that going. And depending on my game, right, it spritzes, it fully immerses me into the world. Like that is something I would like consider going, yeah, okay, I'll go in on that, you know, like that's cool to me. So I like that they're adding more scents. I don't know about blood. I don't know if that's the one I want to smell.
I totally agree with you, like with the ones that smell good kind of naturally, I don't think it's as big of a deal because the smell's going to continue to linger after you are done playing your game. Like I was playing games leading up to bed last night and I had it turned on and I was playing it for a couple hours, but then after I had shut off my PS5, these smells were still lingering in my living space for probably another hour or so. So you don't like these ones like blood or whatever. It's like, if that smells horrible, I don't want that stench like in my place for the long haul, you know? So it's a very specific use case thing. I can't see this necessarily taking off and becoming huge. It's so case specific. It's really just a novelty. It's a cool little thing that they've thrown together, but I don't like, am I going to start playing every single game with this hooked up next to me? Probably not. Like again, maybe certain things here and there. Elden Ring's not been too bad, honestly. Just because I think the nice smells kind of alleviate my anger of dying to various bosses in that game.
That's what it really needs, like de-stressor.
Yes.
That would be great. it monitors your blood pressure as it gets higher and just like sprays you in the face with a calming agent.
Yes.
Don't throw the controller.
I really think they just need more sense though, because right now, again, they have the 6 that come in the box. other than that, they're adding four more, so they'll have 10 tops. It feels like this thing needed to launch with like 20. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, you really, if you're going to invest in this, I imagine you're going to want to invest in it for very specific games and get very specific smells. Again, like you said, like the cozier games, I feel like would work really well with something like this. So yeah, it's interesting. It's been a fascinating thing to have checked out and kind of gone hands-on with over the past week or so. I don't know if I have loved it. It's not bad though. It very much does what is expected of it. And I think that is sort of the most impressive part of it, because you hear about something like this and it's like, okay, this is totally not going to work in the way that you would think it would. And no, it definitely does. It's just, it's not something I want to use constantly either. So we'll see. Again, I'm moving in like a month, and where I'm going to move is going to be a much bigger room. Maybe if I have a larger play space, I'll also be a little bit more okay with it. We'll see.
Still play Fortnite?
Do I still play Fortnite? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So like one of the things I would love to see if like the AI can actually pick up on this is like when they do their seasonal events and it shifts the smell to like the Thanksgiving event, the Halloween event, and it does like, cool. You know, like Easter and Christmas, and like you get like Christmas scents, and you know, that would be like, okay, I'm selling myself on this. I kind of want one.
Yeah. They just need more scents. Like there's so many obvious scents that I feel like should be in this that like it would work great with a cooking game or something like that. I don't think we're really in cooking mama era anymore, like we were a couple years ago.
Ooh, that's another great one.
But
the smell of eggs,
something like that would be really cool. I don't know if, like Evan's example, I don't know if I really want to smell Yharnam in Bloodborne.
Yeah, that's true. Because
I just don't think it
God,
would
can
be
you imagine
appealing.
Gears of War?
Oh,
like
man.
Going through Gears of War, it's like, smell sweat. And you're like, smell. Grunting smell like?
I am curious to try the blood one. I want to see what it would smell like. This website says, prepare for intense, brutal battles of combat. Immerse yourself in the bold and metallic essence, adding raw intensity of virtual horror. That's quite the copyright up there.
Dang.
But yeah. I would be interested in trying that. Again, ocean, forest, storm, clean air, cut grass, those sorts of things. Cool. I don't really know if I need car smell while I'm playing Forza or something like that, you know? So anyway, that's Game Scent. Again, I think you can purchase it now, or you can pre-order it, or you can go learn more about it over at gamescent.com if you are interested. And yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Quick Save. Thank you so much to Matt and Evan for joining me this week. We will be back next week with a new edition of Quick Save. Until that time, be sure to check out all of our other episodes here on the Comic Book Nation feed. We've got the main show this Friday. We've got Evan, I do this every week. What's the name of the anime show?
Anime Initiative. We are every Tuesday at 12:30 Eastern.
Okay, so you can check out
11:30 Central.
You can check out that every Tuesday. Quick Save usually goes up here on Thursdays. Then the main show is on Friday. And you can find us on all sorts of podcast feeds, in addition to over on YouTube at Comic Book Nation, where we put up the video version so that you can see me showing off this little Quick Save, or Quick Save, this little Game Scent hexagon or octagon thing that this comes in. Anyway, we will be back next week to talk about something new with video games. Until that time, have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye.